There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're considering three different things here today. First of all, in the collect, concerning grace. Sometimes the words grace, salvation, atonement, some of these sort of get mixed up. Grace is basically defined as God's unmerited favor towards us. He goes before us, giving His grace. We best see that in the sacraments, in the sacrament of baptism, in the sacrament of confirmation, and especially in the Eucharist, wherein He gives His very body and blood for us. The word prevent is an archaic word. It has an archaic meaning. We'd say, I'm going to go ahead of you to keep you from doing something. Well, the ancient definition of prevent that we see in the collect is to go before. In other words, God's grace goes before us. It goes ahead of us. So it leads us in the right way if we'll let Him do that. He does that, of course, through the Holy Spirit. In the epistle, Paul calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. We also are prisoners. And yet, elsewhere it says we're freed by the gospel. So a prisoner, I think, from what I can determine, means that, we were bound by things. We read the Decalogue. We're bound by certain things. If we want to follow Him, He doesn't make us do these things, but He wants us to, and gives us the means to accomplish those things which He wants us to do. So yes, we're prisoners. We're servants of His. That's exactly what we should be, because by being a servant and a prisoner, we're actually free. We're free to do the right thing. Christian ethic is also summarized in this short selection from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, speaking of humility, patience, and love. And the theological basis set forth in the unity of the church in one body and one spirit. I was talking this morning about being grafted in the church, which we are in baptism. So we have this stock called Jesus the Mystical Rose, and that's a good picture of what the church is. Here's this rootstock, and at baptism we're grafted into it, so that the church profits by that. The rootstock is Christ Himself and His church, but we grow the church by being a beautiful flower before Him and our witness for Him and our treatment of others. St. Luke in our Gospel relates two different things put together because of our Lord's indignation towards those that were so pharisaical, as we say about the Sabbath day. As we read in the Decalogue, we're supposed to observe the Sabbath day. Of course, in the New Testament, to celebrate our Lord's resurrection, our Sabbath day becomes also the Lord's day. Jesus talks about the healing on the Sabbath day. He doesn't ask the Pharisees about it. And they really can't answer him. Obviously, you're going to heal on the Sabbath day. But they challenge him on these things that they shouldn't be challenging him on. They're missing the point. Also, talks about humility, taking the upper seat in the synagogue. You come to a wedding or something like that, and you sit in a place where the bridegroom's family is supposed to sit, or the bride's family, and someone taps you on the shoulder. Could you sit there in the back? It's an embarrassing situation. But also that we should be humble. We should wear those gifts that God gives us, wear them lightly, use them to God's glory, but wear them lightly. But then there's the other thing of false humility. Or say, "Oh, I'm so lowly, and you know, just everybody's better than me." You know, just it becomes a prideful thing. It's sort of the two things going like that. Eventually, meet if you do something that's not right, and you keep or something that's right, but you push too hard about it, then it becomes something that's wrong. Regarding the Sabbath, there are things that happen that where we can't get to church. There was a person that came to our church a week ago, missed the Sunday before, and they were sort of upset about it because they one of their neighbors had some sort of an emergency, and they helped him. I said, "You did God's work by being there for that person." That does not mean that we can lightly dismiss the obligation of church meeting together. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we're to do it as much as we can. But ritual and ceremony at this point become secondary to being compassionate to humankind, mankind. These latest storms that we've had, awful earthquake in Mexico, the massacre of the people in Las Vegas on a Sunday night, and more recently, a troop truck or some military vehicle purposely ran into a formation of troops at Fort Jackson. People go out to help them, regardless of you know whether it's Sunday. They go out and help them. That's what we're to do. So what we do here is be couched in our love for God. And our love for God is going rightfully presented in different ways by helping somebody who's in a ditch. That ox or that ass that's in the ditch, more likely one of us that needs another's help and somebody's there to help us. I close with these words of St. James. I think this is sums it up as Scripture always does. It speaks a lot better than I or anybody else can say. St. James says this in the 27th verse of his epistle. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'll read that again because I think it just covers it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. May we appropriate those words to us ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.